Mike Pentek.
Yeah, you know, we can all relate to this seriously in one way, shape, or form. I mean, we've worked with nasty people, nasty colleagues, people stab you in the back, try to take credit for your successes at work. And, of course, at some point in our career, if it hasn't happened already, it's going to happen that you're going to work for some jerk boss or a boss hole. In fact, that was the terminology that was used on the email that we received as a publicity piece from Dan Russ. Dan is the author of Workplace Poker. Are you playing the game or just getting played? He joins us now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Mike. You know, I get the sense you have someone in mind.
Oh, I do. but I, just to be clear, in fact, I was talking to my boss today, Jim Gracie, who is a very nice man. We've known each other for so many years. And I walked into his office and I said, by the way, I said, since you're the boss, I hope you're not going to be offended because we're going to talk about boss holes today. He says, well, you're not referring to current management. I said, no, actually, I'm not. But there are some people that I do have in mind. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, and I'm convinced, you know, there aren't a huge number of bad bosses, but they get around. It seems like we've all met them.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I mean, and this is the God's truth, okay? Because, you know, I get myself into trouble on a fairly regular basis, or at least I used to. But the simple fact is the people that I work with right now, seriously, are some of the best broadcasting people that I've ever worked for. And that starting off with our program director, Jim Gracie. But I could tell you some stories about some idiots who have no clue, since I work in radio, how to program a radio station. Okay. And I've worked, and on top of that, just nasty people, which brings me to this before we get into some of your tips, because I do want to get into that and about the politics. But here's what I'm thinking. Tell me what you think of this, that there are people who are in high positions. They may be CEOs or they may be in middle management. I don't care, but they're psychopaths. They just don't kill people. But they kill their spirit, they kill their careers.
And take a little bit of, or maybe a lot of, pleasure from the activity.
Sadistic. Sadistic types of people. They're psychopaths. So you agree with me?
Well, I agree they exist, and I agree there are more of them than, you know, than just sort of a rare breed. And I think one of the challenges with the actual psychopaths is they're really good at the game.
Mm-hmm.
They play it like a chess game.
Yes, they do.
And one of the things that makes them really good is they are so emotionally disconnected from the rest of us. They can read us. They kind of understand what's happening, the ebbs and flows of relationships. They figure out our weaknesses. And I guess I do have to acknowledge that the workplace psychopaths are pretty good at the game they play.
Well, and they have no remorse. There's no conscience. They don't care who they hurt and who gets in the way and who they have to take down. It's just the difference between them and the serial killer out there is that the serial killer is actually physically killing a human being versus the office psychopath or the CEO boardroom type psychopath, which is killing a person's spirit and killing their livelihood and their careers typically.
Well, and I think, unfortunately, one of the dynamics that takes place is these folks early on figure out that it's not their talent or their hard work that's going to accelerate them. It's this other set of skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And many of them don't have much talent. And over the years, you know how when you have your first couple of tough jobs in radio, you learn a lot.
I'm laughing because I totally agree with you on that, at least in this business, but I'm sure it's true in all these businesses, right?
Well, yeah, these folks don't necessarily learn a lot in their early years because they're not doing the hard work, but they still accelerate in terms of their careers because they've learned this other game.
So,
and it's unfortunate.
So are you suggesting that we go all Game of Thrones in the workplace?
No. In fact, what I'm not only suggesting, and I'm not basing this just on my opinion, I reached out and I talked to a ton of people who I knew were really good at the game, but in more of a positive way. People that I knew had dealt with backstabbers, had dealt with boss holes, had dealt with crazies in the workplace. And I wanted to figure out, okay, well, what did you do? Was it blind luck, or how did you do it? And in those conversations and through the stories that they shared with me, what I came to understand is that there are people, they're not common, but there are people who play the game equally as well as the psychopaths, In fact, you could even say they play it better because they don't come off as game players. People don't think of them as self-promoters. They just think of them as really cool colleagues that we like to work with. But in fact, those folks are strategizing, they're thinking, they're reading the lay of the land. And so in gathering up those stories and kind of peeling the layers away to figure out, okay, well, what did you actually do? That's really where the book came from, is gathering up all of those practical tips and ideas.
Okay, to be totally honest with you, and I know I'm not alone, many of us don't want to play politics. We just want to do our job. We want to get paid. We want to get paid well. We want to advance in our careers, and we don't want to mess around with the politics of the office. And you seem to be implying here, so I ask you up front, you're saying we're wrong. We're not doing it
well,
right.
I'll tell you, Mike, as you're saying it, I'm raising my hand agreeing. I don't want to either. I the whole thing feels a little distasteful, but the hard lesson I've learned, and it took me well over 10 years, was that it's not a game that you can opt out of. It's like sitting at a poker table where your chips are being thrown into the pot every hand, and you're just going to, you know, say, well, no, I'm not going to play the game. Well, then you're going to lose. You can't opt out because in the workplace, you're working with people. People are flawed. People have, you know, odd, strange dynamics sometimes. Even people who are really well-intentioned are not always easy to work with. So the game is being played whether you step forward or not.
All right, we're going to take a break. Traffic is coming up. We'll take a break for our sponsors. And I want you, you're going to have the floor here. I want you to give us some examples of what you're talking about, of how to play and play the right way, and how to deal with the nasty coworker and the boss hole, okay?
Great.
So I know 5 minutes or so is not going to be enough time to cover all of that, but that's why you have the book, right?
I'll talk fast.
Okay. Dan Rust is author of Workplace Poker. Are you playing the game or just getting played? Radio.com. Dealing with boss holes. That caught my attention. Fortunately, I don't have that problem right now. I really don't. But I have had that problem, and I'm sure you have as well. Or if not, you certainly had to deal with some jerk coworker, some nasty, untrustworthy, dishonest, cheating, backstabbing SOB that you worked with. Dan Rust is here to help. He's got a book called, that just came out, Workplace Poker, Are You Playing the Game or Just Getting Played? And a little back, I was looking at your background here, and I just want to cover this very quickly, and I mean really quickly. You are the founder of Frontline Learning, international publisher of corporate training resources, and you also did corporate training. You were a consultant for 30 years, right?
Absolutely.
So you know what you're talking about, we presume.
Oh, you know what? I've been on the front lines. I work a real job. I have a boss. I have performance reviews. I've been in, you know, hundreds of companies, working directly with the folks on the front lines. So,
okay.
In fact, a lot of the stories in the book come directly from that experience.
All right. So you say you got to play politics. Well, you don't want to play politics in the office, but you got to, otherwise you're an idiot, right? I mean, you're not going to get ahead.
I understand. The reason most people don't is because they play it so poorly. Who wants to play a game if you suck at it?
Okay, so give us some examples of playing it well versus playing it poorly.
Well, I'll give you an example of a story that actually was not in the book, because in the book Workplace Poker, I wanted to include only stories where everything had sort of been completed. Either the situation had occurred and in the end things worked out, or in the end things crashed and burned. But at least, you know, it would be a kind of complete end-to-end story. And I had a woman I was spending some time consulting with regarding her career, and she was in a tough spot. She'd taken a job as a new marketing manager for a high-end architect. He was the owner of a high-end design firm, and had a huge brand recognition in the city they were in. And when she went to work for this person and the firm, she was told that they were looking for someone to be a leader. And when she started bringing projects to be approved or expenses to be approved, the owner said to her, I don't want to be approving, you know, this photographer or that situation, or I want you leading. So she took the reins and she started spending money because she'd been told to not keep bringing everything to him for approval. And about 3 weeks later, he walks into his office, into her office, furious because she had approved a couple of photographers that were going to photo some completed projects. And he wanted to know who approved this. And he just ran her up and down because she had approved the budget for these photographers. And what she told me was that ever since then, it was like a crazy place because if she brought things in for approval, he would basically say, why are you forcing me to do this? You should be doing this. But then if she did it, she knew that basically she was laying landmines because eventually one of those things he was going to get ticked off at and be back in her office. And then the final part of this is she confided in a coworker at this office and was trying to figure out, you know, how do I deal with this person? And she didn't understand that the person she confided in had a close relationship with the owner and basically ended up going to the owner saying, hey, she's complaining about you behind your back, which made things even worse. So she was in just a no-win.
Yeah, so the moral of that story is what exactly?
Well, so my first question to her was, why do you want to work there? And obviously it's driving you nuts a little bit. Is it worth it? And there are times where it's worth it either because of the pay or because the unique opportunity to get more experience or more connections. And what she said to me was, given the industry she wanted to work in, being an employee of this particular firm for at least 2 or 3 years was going to be great for her resume, great experience, great connections, but she had to survive for 2 or 3 years.
Okay, but you made a point of saying that she confided in a coworker that she did not realize had a relationship with the owner, and would you know, obviously the moral of that is she should have known who the hell she's talking to or kept her mouth shut.
The deeper moral is, first and foremost, before you do anything, step back and set your emotions aside. And I know it's easier said than done. I get it. But you can't read a situation if you're kind of caught up in either the panic or the anger or the frustration or even sometimes the positive things. If you're too impressed by somebody or too into somebody, you can't read the situation. So in Workplace Poker, what I do is I lay out a process for at least helping you step back emotionally and begin to observe almost like, if you remember Jane Goodall from the 70s, where she was observing chimpanzees in the wild, she observed some pretty horrendous behavior, and you know, chimpanzees killing, stealing babies, doing all kinds of things. And, but she observed it very objectively. And so I use that as an example of step back, observe the behavior. And what I said to her is take a couple of weeks and just set aside all of the anxiety and observe what the boss does. Be curious about who does he work well with or who seems to have a good relationship with him. And sometimes just in that stepping back and watching objectively, you can start to crack the code of, oh, I see what's happening. I see maybe a clearer way to work more effectively. It's not always
true. So you can find a way, maybe you find a way around the minefield, as you put. And by the way, you also made me think of something else. We have to take a break here, but you made me think of something else about taking a step back before you fire off an email that you might regret.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's good advice, too. Can you stick around into the next hour?
Yeah, I've got a little time.
Okay, and would you take calls?
Oh, totally, yeah.
So what I would say is, you know, if you've got a question about the workplace and politics, okay, ask the question succinctly. Short, make it short, okay? Do not mention names or companies, okay? Because I am definitely not going to let you get us into a slander or lawsuit of some sort because you blurted out somebody's name or the name of the company. So we're not doing that, okay? But if you have a question for Dan, dial it in at 866-391-1020 or send it to us on our Dollar Bank Instant Access email, instantaccess@kdka.com. And we are back with Dan Rust, the author of Workplace Poker. Are you playing the game or just getting played? Dan, we only have 2 minutes before this break, so this has to be real quick. But you mentioned this woman, and you said something about you. The question you asked is, why do you want to work there? And which implies, in a way, maybe the answer in some of these cases is, okay, I shouldn't be working here. I should just quit. How do you know if that's the right answer?